the earth. Thank you for all your abundant gifts. Good morning, Father, Son. Thank you for feeding all living things on earth. Thank you, plant kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, animal kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, great spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is your host, Caroline Wise King, and I want to thank you for joining me today. We've been having some wonderful guests of this show, and we'll continue to do so in the future, but today you are my guest, and this show is dedicated to you and what is not working in your life. The phone lines are open, and you can call me at 323-203-0815 to talk directly with me, ask me any questions, tell me what the problem is, and we'll see what we can do to help you. Okay? I'm always thrilled to have guests, but sometimes it doesn't leave time or opportunity for me to talk specifically about the things that are troubling you and to take your calls. So today it's all about what shamanism can do for you. I know you want to have healthier, happier, more prosperous, and fulfilling lives, right? So let's get this show on the road. Now listen carefully. I'm going to read you a list of symptoms. See if you recognize any of these symptoms that you or someone in your life is dealing with. Do you have difficulty staying present in your body? Or feel sometimes as if you're outside your body watching someone else's life? Do you feel numb, apathetic, or chronically fatigued? Do you suffer from depression? Is your immune response depleted, making you subject to every virus or bug that comes along? Were you sick a lot when you were a child? Are there gaps in your memory? Do you sense that you may have blacked out some traumatic experience? Do you have addiction problems with alcohol, drugs, food, sex, gambling, etc.? Have you had difficulty moving on with your life after the loss of a loved one, whether it was a breakup of a marriage, a relationship, or the death of someone close to you? Do you feel like there's a big empty void inside of you that you keep trying to fill up? These are all classic symptoms of what we call soul loss. Now, when we talk about soul loss, shamanism, we're not talking about the soul as the church does. We see your soul as your vital essence of life, the life force energy that animates your physical body. When you've suffered traumatic experiences, a part of you, that part that can't handle or deal with the circumstances, will leave. In psychology, they call it disassociation. And people sometimes spend years in therapy trying to reconnect and access that part of themselves. In shamanism, we work with our power animals, our teachers, to go out into the spirit world and find those lost parts and bring them back. We usually find them at the place where the soul part actually left you. That could be during some physical abuse as a child. It could be at the scene of an accident, an automobile accident or motorcycle accident. It could be even in a courtroom. I found one lady's soul part still there where she had lost custody of her child, and she was still standing there, dumbstruck, that this could have happened. We have all kinds of traumatic experiences during the course of our lives. And sometimes what we found is that soul parts just don't come back on their own. Now, there are also soul parts that get lost from past lifetimes, and we're taken back hundreds of years to retrieve a soul part. These past life soul parts often lead to karmic patterns that the person is experiencing in this lifetime. And the only way to heal this situation is to heal it at the point of origin, where it all started. Relationship patterns, where you're continually attracted to the same type of person, it's your subconscious effort to heal or reconcile what went wrong. But you can't heal it with something new or with someone new. Like I said, it has to be healed where and with whom it started. So that's what a shaman can do for you. Go back and heal that old wound and bring back your soul part that is still there suffering the trauma of breakup. This sets you free from that incident so that you can move forward with your life now. I can't speak for other healers. We all have our own specific way of doing things, but I never bring back a traumatized soul part. I don't want you to have any processing or any experience of more pain with that. You've suffered from it long enough. So I always ask my teacher or power animal to heal this soul part and remove the memory and emotional trauma so that what I bring back is just your vital life force energy, and you are empowered to be more in the present and awake and alive. I also bring back your power animal. Now, power animals are not really animals. They're very highly evolved, compassionate beings that we can relate to. They see us, that we suffer a lot of pain in this world, and they want to help us. They're so far evolved from us that we wouldn't be able to relate to them in their actual state. So they come to us in the form of an animal. The great thing about this is that they come in the form of an animal whose traits describe their attributes and their abilities. These are not symbolic animals like in astrology. They are real living beings, and they have tremendous power. They can protect and guide you. They can remove blockages from your path, open doors, transmute energies, and help you with your timing. So you are in the right place at the right time. And that just makes a tremendous difference in your ability to be successful in life. Now, we don't usually tell people what our power animal is. Talk about it out in public because some people don't understand. They may want to make a joke about it or make some derogatory comment about it. As I said, these are real living beings, and they can get their feelings hurt and leave. After all, they don't have to help us. They have chosen to do so out of compassion for us. So we must always treat them with honor and respect and appreciation. If you'd like to know more about power animals, there's a great book called Animal Speak by Ted Andrews. And of course, there are several websites with information about power animals. Now, one of the other things that shaman do is extraction work. And that involves pulling intrusions out of the body that are causing illnesses. Intrusions are energies that have entered the body and are feeding on its energy. In the beginning, it may hardly be noticeable that you even have an intrusion. But as time passes, it grows larger, and it begins to do damage to the body that can eventually become a life-threatening disease like cancer. In this instance, we, of course, recommend that you see a medical doctor. We also recommend that you continue to work with us because sometimes if you don't heal the spirit body, the physical body doesn't get well either. And there are other issues with healing the body, which is why we also do counseling. If a person has issues of anger, hate, and unforgiveness, those have to be dealt with, or the person will just take back the intrusion and get sick again. Now, we also do something called psychopomp work, and that probably sounds like something weird to you. But it's actually how we work with the dead and dying. You would not believe how many disincarnate souls are around us. And it's so sad. It's because in our Western culture, we don't do anything to help the person after they've died. Most people have such fear of death that they don't want to know anything about it. They don't understand that we need to be taking care of the soul of the deceased after death. And sometimes, especially during the funeral and the mourning period, that's a crucial time for that soul. The gate to the light is open, but it only stays open for 3 days. Don't ask me why there's a 3-day time limit on that. I don't know any more than I know why we revolve around the sun or that the sun comes up every morning. I do know there's 3 days that the gate is open and the soul can go forward. If the soul does not leave and go into the light at that time, they become earthbound when it closes. What happens is that when the now disincarnate spirit sees their family suffering and crying and so devastated over the loss of them, they want to comfort them, and they continue to hover around them even though nobody can see them or hear them. They keep trying to help, unaware that time is passing, because of course there's no time in the spirit world, and the gate closes, leaving them here. After a few weeks, or sometimes even just days, the mourning family tries to get on with their lives. They give away the belongings of the deceased. They give clothes, stuff to charities. They dispose of properties. And some people actually put away pictures of their loved one so that they won't be reminded of their loss. And meanwhile, their loved one is stuck here. What this loved one often does is attach themselves to someone in the family. And this causes another problem. This is added energy that that person can't use, and it weighs them down. They become tired and despondent, which can lead to other problems. A shaman can help this attached spirit to move on. But if no one is available to help them continue on their life journey, they can remain stuck here on the earth plane. Right now, we are inundated with disincarnate spirits because we don't take the time and effort to help them move on peacefully. And now we have all these shows like Ghostbusters and Ghost Whisperers and Ghost Investigators. I wish they could understand that these ghosts are just people like themselves who are stuck in an in-between place, and that they need our help and compassion instead of sensationalism and exorcisms and scare tactics and all the things that we subject them to. Our society has a lot to learn about life and death. We come in from the spirit world when we're born, and we go back out to the spirit world when we die. There is only life. Everything recycles, and the circle of life goes round and round. There's something else that I want to discuss with you, and that is original medicine. Now, you heard a little bit about it a couple of weeks ago when Angela Zarian was on my program. She wrote The Fourfold Way, and she did devote a bit of attention to this term, original medicine. Indigenous peoples use the word medicine as power. That's what it really means. And they believe that each one of us was born with original medicine, something unique and unreplicated anywhere in the world. You are part of the Great Spirit that moves in all things. You were given everything you need to live joyful, abundant lives filled with love and peace. You're meant to grow and push beyond limitations fearlessly and with passion. Yet I see so many people falter and let their dreams die through fear of failure and embarrassment and uncertainty. But you were born with original medicine, some particular gift or talent that only you can do. There may be others with a similar gift, but nobody can do it exactly like you can. In our cultures, effort to domesticate and create model citizens who will be responsible, work, pay taxes, obey the law, get married, raise children, etc., we have developed a cookie-cutter educational system that sometimes cuts away the very parts of you that contained your gift, your original medicine. That is why we have so many people who seem to be hopelessly stuck in a meaningless job and endless struggle to try and gain more of the stuff that our society equates with success. This may very well be what Jesus meant when he said, "What profit is it if you gain the whole world and lose your soul?" I want you to go back to your earliest memories of things you wanted to do. What did you say to adults who asked what you wanted to be when you grew up? When you were young, you knew what you came in to do, and you were excited and enthusiastic about life, until some adult told you that it was a stupid idea, or that you couldn't make any money that way, so what good was it? That's when the uncertainty set in, and the self-doubt began to dissipate your enthusiasm. Then the cookie-cutter educational system performed amputations and lobotomies on your psyche, and you emerged as a serious, fearful, dutiful part of society, ready to join the ranks of the soulless, marching to work every day, doing the expected things, marrying, raising the kids, paying taxes, and accumulating those status symbols that tell the world you are a success. And you wake up each morning feeling disenfranchised, as if somehow your life has been stolen from you. Try to remember your earliest childhood memories. What was it that made you excited, made you eager to jump out of bed each morning, filled with energy and feeling alive? Search your memories and you will find clues to your original medicine. Embrace it and begin to incorporate it in your life. You will find yourself waking up and feeling alive again. Remember, it isn't always about making money and how many toys you can accumulate. It's about expressing the gift you've brought to the world. This empowers you and others around you to be all that you came here to be. Imagine giving your energy over to the joyous visions of your youth, and to realize that the thing to do is connect your original medicine to the highest good without any regard for personal glory. This will bring you a sense of fulfillment and compassion for others and their gifts. I experienced that myself, so I know what I'm talking about. By the time I was in around 40, I began to get very tired of life. I had spent a lot of my life taking care of other people, ailing family members, and then children, and you know, always it was taking care of other people. As a child, I had wanted to be an artist, and my stepfather didn't approve of art. He thought it was a waste of time. And so he was very critical of me anytime I sat down with my art pens and pencils and paints and everything. He would find something else for me to do, because he said, you know, get up from there. You're wasting your time. You can't make any money with that, and that's stupid. Just leave that stuff alone. So I put all of that on the back burner, and I kept thinking that, well, one of these days I'll have time to do these things that I want to do with all my heart. But as the years went by, there just wasn't any time. And what happened is I began to feel so tired and so beat down that I just didn't want to live. And I began to get sick and just have problems. And every day was a burden. Every day was an effort to get up and go to work. And I really thought that, you know, I was really aging rapidly, and I was not going to be around a long time. And it took me a while to figure out what was going on. I finally realized that the little child self inside me was just curling up and wanting to die, because it never got to play. It never got to draw pictures. It didn't get to paint. It didn't get to create. It had this joy about creating things, something beautiful, and it wasn't being allowed to do any of those things. So it didn't want to play this game anymore. When I realized that, I went down to Michael's, you know, the craft store, and I picked up some art materials and everything, and I came home and I thought, well, I'm gonna start doing this again. But, you know, so many years had gone by, and I felt like now I'm getting too old to start, go back to school and learn all the techniques. And, I found all kinds of ways to discourage myself. But then I realized, no, you can't do that. You wanted to be an artist, now do it. So I started just making craft things, little things. And I had to actually force myself to do it. I would come home so tired from work, so exhausted that I didn't think I could make it through cooking the dinner for the kids and getting myself showered and ready for bed and all. But I managed, I forced myself after dinner to sit down with my craft supplies and to start doing something. And the strangest thing happened. It was like magic. All of a sudden, I looked at the clock. And hours had gone by. It was quite late. I really should have been in bed. But all the tiredness had just dropped away from my body. All of it was gone. And I felt wonderful. And I was loving what I was doing. And it was looking pretty good. And I'm like, wow, this is the best medicine I ever took. So I began to really apply myself. And I was a little discouraged about being an actual artist that paints pictures, because there's a lot of techniques to learn with that. But I decided to take a course in stained glass because I've always loved the luminosity of glass. So I did that, and I went on to become a pretty good stained glass artist, and love it. I mean, it just thrills my soul to create something beautiful and wonderful. Now imagine there's some gift lying dormant in you that maybe you have put on the back burner and haven't had time to do, haven't even hardly had time to think about. I want you to think about what you were so excited about as a child and begin to pull that up, but begin to access that thing again, start doing it again. Expressing this gift will give you will empower you in ways that you just cannot imagine. And when you begin to have come alive again and be awake and aware again, marvelous things happen in your life. That was like 30 years ago that I started doing that. And at the time, as I told you, I thought I was getting sick and I was going to die soon. 30 years have gone by, and I've done wonderful, beautiful things, and have helped a lot of other people find their original power, their original medicine, and start doing that again. Now, can you imagine if the whole world was filled with joyous, enthusiastic people doing something they love? Can you see any of those people killing, stealing, starting wars, are doing unspeakable things to their fellow humans? No, of course not. Joyous, enthusiastic people are busy doing things they love to do. And they actually like helping others. They are the ones who actually create a peaceful world. They are the solution to the world's problem and the answer to all the questions. You can be part of this solution and this answer. Find your original medicine and begin to live with it and work with it. You will be amazed at how you will become empowered, and you'll have so much energy and enthusiasm. Now, here we are in the 21st century, fast approaching the completion of a 26,000-year age, as shown by the Mayan calendar. Now, I know you've probably heard all sorts of doom and gloom stories about The end of the calendar is happening December 21st, 2012. It's the end. It's the end. What it is, it's the end of an age, not the end of the world. It's a completion time, which is followed by the birth of a new 26,000-year age. It's a time of celebration, like New Year's Eve. And here's the interesting part. You and I chose to be here for this special New Age celebration. Why? Because this is the time of completion. We came in to heal and tie up all the loose ends of our soul journey. You know what I mean. The unfinished agendas and business, the unresolved emotional baggage from all those lifetimes we've experienced during this 26,000-year age. It's time for us to clean up and heal our karmic energy, our karmic history. We've come full circle. New plants and animals are being discovered all over the planet, on land and sea. And some animals that were thought to be extinct are reappearing. And, of course, we're seeing the revival of shamanism, which is the oldest belief system on the planet. Do you know they've actually found artifacts showing that shamanism was practiced 40,000 years ago? 40,000 years! And it probably goes back even farther than that. And now as shamanism is coming back and more people are waking up, this is perfect timing, because shamanism gives us the tools and the techniques to go back in time and retrieve our lost soul parts, to go back and heal the traumas and dissolve the agendas and cut the cords that bound us to all that baggage. As we get free, guess what? Our frequency begins to rise, and our heart begins to open, and we become alive again, fully alive, awake and aware that we are part of a huge family of life that shares this beautiful earth garden with us. Now is your moment of power. So I want you to locate a shaman in your area. There are two directories you can go to on the internet. Go to www.shamanism.org. That's www.shamanism.org or www.sandraingerman.com. There are now shamans available in every nook and cranny of the globe, so there's probably someone right in your own area. Now, of course, if you wish to talk with me or work with me, you can reach me at Caroline, C-A-R-O-L-I-N-E, at shamanseek.com, or call me at 702-358-0530. 702-358-0530. I do a lot of long-distance work, and it is very effective. Now, I do this on a donation basis. I can't say what other healers might charge, but look around and do what works for best for you. Okay. Now, let's see. I think we might have a caller. In a second, because it's really important that we actually are able to do something about your karmic history. You know, most people today don't really understand what karma is. We've heard it talked about from India. They've talked about karma and that it gives you back whatever you've given out. If you've been a bad person and done bad things in a past lifetime, you are going to get that back in some other lifetime down the way. And that's all kind of vague. I want to tell you what my experience has been in working with people the last few years, my work has evolved more and more into working with karmic patterns in people's lives. And so what I found is that we actually choose our futures. I worked with a gentleman who has given me permission to talk about his journeys. As normally we don't talk about anyone's journey that we've done, and I'm going to be a little vague about his journey, but he had a lot of health problems. And that's something else. If you're having a lot of health problems, it means you've suffered a lot of soul loss. Because when the soul parts leave, they leave a hole in your auric field. And these intrusions who might happen to be floating by see the hole, and they're looking for a home, and so they move in. This is very different from what metaphysics teaches you. Metaphysics likes to say that if you're sick, it's because of your own thinking. Or if things are going wrong in your life, you did it to yourself with the way you're thinking. You have to change your thinking. And it is good to have a positive attitude about life and to only see the good, to focus on the good in life and count your blessings. That is wonderful. However, there's something else that makes you sick, and that is these intrusions. And they come into your body not because of what you said or did, but because you suffered soul loss. And it left a hole in your auric field, and these things come in. So that just adds more to what you're already suffering. So as shaman, what we can do is take out those intrusions, as I explained earlier, and seal up the auric field and give you a power animal to help keep you protected. Okay, now getting back to karma, I worked with a gentleman who had one health crisis after another. It was just incredible. I couldn't believe that one person could have so many things go wrong. First lung cancer, and then a heart attack, and then some bleeding that wouldn't stop. It was just, you know, it was like trying to plug the holes in a dike. And I finally, in desperation, asked the right question. It taught me a huge lesson. But I asked my teacher, where did all this start? What has caused all of these things to keep happening in this man's life? And I was taken back in time several hundred years to a time when he was an alcoholic in that lifetime. And he did something that caused something really terrible to happen. He was drunk, and he went over to they were living in thatched roof huts in this little village. He went over to his parents' hut, and he wanted to borrow a tool from his father. And his father said, no, you're drunk, go home. And he became angry. He was very drunk, and he pushed his father. And his father fell backwards. And when he fell, he hit his head against an iron cooking pot that was there on the hearth by the fire. And when he hit his head on it, it killed him. Well, this man was drunk. He didn't even realize that he had pushed his father away. His mother, this frail little old lady, jumped up, grabbed his arm, and said, no, no. And he just slung her off. And she kind of flew over and hit the wall and slid down to the ground. Well, he was so drunk, he wasn't aware of anything else. He stormed out of the house, went home, and fell in bed and passed out. Well, the constable came to his house in the morning and arrested him for killing his parents. He was horrified because he loved his parents. He couldn't believe he would have done such a terrible thing. But they told him, yes, that's what happened. And a neighbor had gone over that morning, and his parents were both on the floor dead. What had happened is when the old lady hit the wall, her hip had broken, and she couldn't get up, and she lay there on the floor, and she kept waiting for the old man to wake up and help her. And when she finally realized that he wasn't going to wake up, that he was dead, she had a heart attack and died also. So both of them were there dead. And of course, this man was hung for that, for killing his parents. And he died believing that that's what he had done. So what he did, and this taught me another lesson, is that we choose our futures, and we choose. He felt that he needed punishment. He felt that he had done this unspeakable thing, and he needed to be punished. And he chose parents in the next lifetime who would abandon him when he was a little child. And then in the next lifetime, he chose parents that mistreated him and abused him terribly. And then in this lifetime, he chose parents who didn't love him and criticized and ridiculed him from the time his earliest memories on. No matter what he did, he couldn't please them. They always found something wrong with him and with what he had done. So I had to explain this to this gentleman when he came back into town. He was in another part of the country when he had his last crisis, and I did this journey. So when he came back, I sat down with him, and I said, okay, I need to talk to you about something that happened in your past lives. You were responsible for the death of a couple of people. And he looked at me hard, looked me in the eye, and he said, was it my parents? And I knew then that, yes, the soul part that I had brought back from that time, put back into him, that soul part was definitely home. And at the soul level, he knew what had happened. Well, he still knew that he had been responsible for somebody's death. But here is the wonderful thing. I was able to tell him he had not deliberately murdered his parents, which is what he had believed all this time, and had continued to punish himself about it. I explained the whole situation to him, and I said, you know, if that had happened in today's world, forensics would have found that the old man fallen and hit his head, and the blow to his head when he fell was what killed him. And your mother, when she fell with a broken hip, that when she realized he was dead, she had a heart attack. And so he would have maybe been charged with manslaughter or something. But you did not murder your parents. Well, this was such an enormous relief to this man. You cannot imagine. I saw his face actually transform, and the light began to fill him, and his eyes clear up, and his body straighten up, and it's just amazing. And he went on to help a lot of other people everywhere he went, because he traveled with his business, and he was always somewhere else. And wherever he went to AA meetings and talked with people, because even in this lifetime, he had experienced some alcoholism when he was younger, but he had conquered that. But now he felt that he wanted to help everyone out there that he could. So whatever city he was in, went to the AA meetings, and he spoke, and he talked with people, and he helped them. He did a tremendous amount of good. And his whole life changed. His health got better. Everything changed in his life. And it's just, you cannot imagine how wonderful it is to see a transformation like that. But now I want people to understand about how this karmic thing works. Because if you have done something in your life and you truly think that you need or deserve to be punished, then no doubt you will choose a set of circumstances for yourself in the next lifetime and the next and on, so on, in which you get punished. And of course, in those lifetimes, without the memory of why this is happening, you know, are probably saying, why me? Why me? What is, you know, and people saw your karma. Well, it is, but it was your choice to go into situations where you would be punished, okay? And for those people that have lived lives where they've done a lot of good and they're expecting good, then get what we expect, okay? If you expect to be punished, you'll be punished. If you expect to have a good life and be surrounded by loving people and have a joyous lifetime, then that's what you get. So karma is something very different from what they're led to believe. And there's just so many things that happen with people's lives that seem unexplainable in this lifetime. There was a lady I worked with, a very elderly lady, who complained to me that her entire life she had been so nervous and anxious and fearful. And she said, I don't know why. There's nothing happening in my life that caused me to feel that way. I've had a good life, and I've had a loving husband and loving children and peaceful things. But she said, I'm constantly on edge and constantly afraid of something. But when I journeyed, I found out why. I found her pacing up and down along a canal. It was like an entryway into a harbor where the ships came in. And it was a long time ago, during the days of the big sailing ships. And she was pacing up and down. There was a storm whipping up, and the waves were fierce, and the winds were howling, and the sky was dark. And she was pacing, peering at the horizon. And this went on for some time, and then we saw this ship begin to come in, and it was getting tossed and buffeted about in unbelievable ways by the waves and the wind. And as it was coming into that channel, it began to break up. And she was horrified because she thought that was the ship her husband was on. And her son, both her husband and her son, were on that. And she stood there watching all this anxiety, her fists clenched and biting her lip, and just in such anxiety that as she watched the ship begin to break up and begin to sink below the waves, and the water is kicking up the waves, and it finally just disappears from sight. So I was able to heal that part and bring this soul part back. I never bring back a traumatized part, like I said. So we healed. We took away the pain, the memory, the trauma, and everything of it, and just brought back the life energy and put it back in her. And she's very peaceful since then. So it's a really interesting journey to do this kind of work. And people just don't know how special it is, how exciting it is for them to get back their soul parts, to be able to actually deal with things that were beyond their control and beyond their reach in this life. And I believe that's why shamanism is coming back as strong as it is. Because, like I said, we're in a time of completion, and we need to get all our soul parts back. We need to heal up all those soul traumas, because we want to go into the new age fully awake and aware and alive. Now, remember, you can call in. My number is 323-203-0815. If you have anything going on in your life that's not working for you, anything that has happened that you don't understand and you would like to find out more about it, call in. We'll talk about it, see what we can do to help you. The great spirit that moves in all things is living in you and in everything around us. We're all connected in this great web of life around this beautiful earth garden. And the great spirit wants us to be happy, joyful, have a good life. That's why he gave us the gifts of this body, the gifts of this world. We live in such a beautiful world, and we've done so much damage to it. That's something else we need to remember, that the trees are alive. The plants are alive. The animals are alive. Everything that we hurt and kill and destroy, these are living beings. So think about it. Whenever you're outside, give thanks for everything around you. As the prayer that I say in my opening of each show, give thanks to Mother Earth and to the sun and the water and the animals and the plants and trees. We have so much to be thankful for here. And we need to recognize that it is sacred. Life is sacred. And to protect and take care of not just ourselves, but of all our family. The Lakota Sioux Indians say, Matakio Yusin. It means all my relations. And when they say that, they're referring to the animals and the plants and the trees and the stone people. Because all of these, they're tree people and animal people and stone people and bird people and fish people. We are all living beings, all sharing the experience of this beautiful earth garden. And we were put here to enjoy it and to live together in peace and harmony. Even in the Bible, in Genesis, it talks about that mankind is to be stewards of the earth. And stewardship means taking care of everything around us, taking care of the planet, of the earth, of the plants and trees and animals and birds and all living things that make up this world. And I believe that's what we're moving into. I believe this new age that we're moving into will be a time of great healing, a time of great recognition of the sacredness and the preciousness of all life. I believe that if people can focus on that, that we will begin to live that way now, and we'll be able to safely and peacefully move into the new age without having to go through cataclysms and end of the world type scenarios. We don't have to play that game. We don't have to live that scenario. What we do have to do is recognize all the living beings that are part of us. I had a wonderful experience one time. I was at a workshop, a shaman workshop, and the leader told us that, well, it was Dr. Michael Harner. He said, go back and experience what it's like to die and leave your body, and where do you go and what do you do? Well, when I left my body, I thought, I want to go back to the beginning. I want to go back to the Garden of Eden and start this thing over and do it better. And when I got there and I looked around, I was told that I could name all the animals. And I looked around and there were all these animals, and I ran over and I hugged the bear and I said, me, me, me. And I hugged the deer and I said, me. And I hugged the bunny rabbit and I said, me. And I hugged the horse and said, me. I named everything me. And that's when I really got it. That we really are all one. All the me's out there want you to remember that we are all one. And that's how we can move forward in harmony and peace and joy and have really good lives. And don't forget that you can reach me on my website, shamanskeep.com. That's www.shamanskeep.com. You can call me at 702-358-0530. And you can go on my page at LA Talk Radio and just scroll down on it and click on any of those websites and emails. And I'm also happy to say that we are now on iTunes, so you'll be able to access the show wherever you are in the world. Now, that's all for today. I want to thank you for listening. Next week, I have a wonderful guest. His name is Raymond Grace. And you may have heard of him. He's not a shaman per se. He works with a pendulum. And if you have any interest in how to work with a pendulum, he's going to teach you some wonderful things. This man is amazing, the healing work that he does using a pendulum. So I'll be sure to tune in next week. Until then, may the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all life sing in your presence. Have a beautiful week. Thank you.